Getting in my hammock, I said, see you this morning. I have usually only shared things, I think, at like the Christmas service when I'm allowed 10 minutes, okay? So this is like a bit bigger for me today. You're going to have to listen to me for longer than 10 minutes. But this is something that I wanted to talk about for a long time. So the story of Joseph has felt quite pivotal to me at various points in my life. And I felt that there's been lessons to share from the story in the Bible and testing for my life to show that there's still God at work today in the same principles. But those of you that may not know, I had a baby 6 months ago. I run a business and I'm doing panto in a week's time. So life's a little bit busy, and it's not really the ideal time to be preparing a word. And so I've been, and I'm not getting too much sleep. So I've been having an hour about whether to share, and I was going to say something last week, and I got like no sleep. I got no sleep last night either, but some things have happened in the last few weeks that made me think, okay, I think, you know, it is time to share. At my theatre school last Saturday, usually, you know, the younger kids love to tell you stories, things that happen in their lives, but we've got things to do, so I tend to be a bit, that's going to be great, let's kind of carry on, that, you know, don't have time for stories. And in the however many years I've been running a theatre school, no child has ever told me a Bible story before. Last Saturday, one of the children, when I was talking about the, you know, motivations behind the workhouse orphans and Oliver, that they're very sad and Mrs. Bumble has been very mean to them, one of them goes, well, that's like the story of Joseph. Joseph's brothers were really mean to him, and then he was sold to slavery. And I was like, hang on. And then at the end of the session, a parent came up to me and said, my child's been offered the role of Joseph in their school production. And then this week I had an email from the Andrew Lloyd Webber really useful group saying, Joseph's back on in the West End. Coming back to the West End. So I felt that this is the time to share. So I want to just speak about the points in the story that come up to me, kind of praise of the story of Joseph, and then a testimony that I have that for me has been an outworking of God being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same God, but Joseph is alive and living in us today. So, Joseph, I'm reading that one time. Okay, Joseph had a God-given dream. He faced obstacles, he persevered and remained faithful throughout those obstacles, and eventually, ultimately, God was glorified in the fulfillment of the dream. That ultimately, God was given the glory when everything that Joseph had dreamed and promised came to fruition. After everything Joseph went through, he was able to say, it was God. When his brothers came to him in Egypt, after he'd been in prison, after he'd been sold into slavery, after being accused wrongly, after he had been ignored and abandoned, and then eventually was restored, was given a position by the Pharaoh. When his brothers came to came to Egypt to ask for help, he was able to say, so then it was not you who sent me here, but God. That everything in his life that happened was God. God's plan in Joseph's life, and I'm talking about God's plan in our lives today as well. So, testimony. Testimony is real life. Testimony is what God's done in our lives, but what God's done in my life. Those nice four summary of the story of Joseph that I've come up with don't necessarily fit in a nice little order in my life. I'm going to probably shuffle about over a couple of decades with some of the testimony that I have today, but it's all fitting in to those four points, like Joseph, having a dream, facing obstacles, persevering through the obstacles, and then God is glorified throughout it all. God has spoken to me via the story of Joseph at some very key pivotal points in my life, which sometimes at the time feel like key pivotal points in my life, and sometimes retrospectively realise that it has been a pivotal point in your life. So three that I particularly wanted to share was, and I can't find my notes for this, which is so frustrating, but back in 2008, I was a qualified solicitor. I had a job which in my eyes was the kind of pinnacle of where I wanted to be in my career at that time. If I was going to be a solicitor working in Cardiff, I wanted to be a particular law firm that had a good reputation, had good career prospects, had a nice salary, was everything that I quite liked at that point. And I believed at that point that probably was going to be my life for how many years on? Like, why wouldn't I at that point? I've worked hard. I've done seven years of 3 years law school, 1 year postgrad, 2 year training contract that you do to become a solicitor. And at the beginning of, I can't remember which year it was, I think it was 2009, when I was in this job, we had a New Year service, and Paul was preaching. And during that service, I just felt really stirred. During what Paul was saying, I felt really stirred, inspired, felt that it was quite prophetic for me. I was writing notes of what Paul was saying, and then I was also doodling ideas, and I came up with this idea of shine. I came up with this idea of theatre, and it being important in my life, which at the time was to say, okay, this isn't brand new for me. I'll just say, you know, I was a solicitor, but prior to that, I'd grown up doing drama and theatre, and I loved it. My first job when I was 16 was teaching language examinations to younger pupils at the drama school I was at. So I love drama. It's not like suddenly God went, like, something new. It doesn't just, like, he might not tell you, to, you know, tomorrow, become a juggler. Like, you know, this was something that I already was doing, but it seemed to be more of a hobby, bit of fun on the side if you got time to do it. But I felt during that preach that it was going to become more important in my life. And I am convinced, even though I can't find my notes, I'm convinced that during that preach, Paul talked about the story of Joseph. Now, what happened with my career in law is that very quickly things turned in my job. It's quite a cutthroat career. And very quickly things kind of went sour, and it was very much God going, yeah, just that's it. I think sometimes to have a huge change in your life, to walk away from something that big, for me, and possibly for people here, if you had to walk away from something, often you have to be in a difficult place to do that, because why would you suddenly change everything about your life if you actually let things go fine and dandy? So things took a turn for worse, and there was a colleague or one of my bosses I was talking to, and he was apologising to me for the fact that stuff in work was a bit rubbish, and he had some things to apologise to me for. And I was able to say to him, in the story of Joseph's brother sent him to slavery, and he's able to say to them that you did it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so I was kind of telling him that, you know, I think God's got a plan on this, but also trying to prove a point that I think you've not been very nice to me. But that was really relevant to me at that point. And then, after I left my career, it was a May bank holiday, I left my job, And that summer, David and I had already been already booked to go to Soul New City, which is Soul Survivor, based out of Manchester. Their mission, they call them Soul New City, and they've done some in different places and what's happening here. And this was in Durban, South Africa. So we'd already organised to go on this, and that was planned for the July. And David was saying to me, look, you've just left a job, we're going away in July, like don't look for work in the interim, just have some weeks off to work out what you like want to do, what you want to do. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, I didn't really have a plan. And when we went to Solvency in Durban, people were put into different projects. And there was all different projects we were put with. There was people that were put with like pregnancy crisis, people put in kind of like mini orphanages almost, people put cleaning the streets, like covering graffiti, all different things. We were put at a holiday club in one of the townships, and the theme of the week was Joseph. And in particular, they focused on achieving your dream. It was about Joseph had a dream, going for your dream. Okay, now I am in Durban, settleships in Africa, with children who, I had a boy in my group who broke his plastic flip-flops. The kind of flip-flops that quite literally, I was on holiday once, my flip-flops broke in the street, I walked into a shop, I bought a new pair of flip-flops, I walked back out of the shop. This boy had to carry his flip-flops around all day because that night he needed to get them fixed to wear them the next day because otherwise he wouldn't have no shoes. Okay, and I had another boy in my group who, I was called boys, who was severely burnt because of an accident in the home, and apparently this was quite common because they didn't have, you know, lots of rooms like we have in our home. There wasn't the option of being very fire conscious in the sense of like if you've got one room where you're living and you need a fire to warm, cook, etc. There's not many places you can go, and a lot of children apparently would get burnt in these fires. And thankfully, I didn't know until the end of the week, because I found this really hard. But at the end of the week, I found out that, I can't remember the percentage now, but it was a ridiculously high percentage, something like 30 or 40% of the children that we worked with were HIV positive or had AIDS. And you think, this is desperate. These are desperate situations. We heard other stuff that went on there that was disgusting, stuff that happened on a regular basis, and things that these children and people living in these townships were facing. And I'm there going, go for your dreams. Like, if I can't go for my dreams, with all the advantages and privileges that I have over here, who am I to go over and tell these children to like live for their dreams? So I was really challenged myself that summer to like come back. And what I did was I set up what is now my theatre school. That I just have found this story inspirational. God's spoken to me through it at various times. So, in the story of Joseph has a specific God-given dream, two dreams, and he is able to interpret other people's dreams. When he's in the prison, people come to him, and then when he goes to Pharaoh, he's able to interpret people's dreams. Okay, sometimes we don't have a specific dream. I didn't think I had a specific dream. And sometimes we don't have a promise in our lives, and that's fine. I think, you know, having a very specific promise or dream in your life perhaps isn't the norm for a lot of people. Okay, so if you're sat here thinking, well, I'm not even given a dream about anything, so this is probably not relevant for me, please don't switch off. Okay, this is for everybody. I'm not saying that you have to have a literal business plan of what you want, or a literal dream from God. And you don't have to be promised from God anything. So for me, I have been married 14 years. My husband spoke last week on this, David. For a long time, we wanted to have a baby. Now, I don't believe that God promised me that I would have a baby. And I believe that God promised me that I would be a mother. And during the 9 years that we couldn't have a baby, I couldn't be angry with God, because God is not Santa. God doesn't just give us everything that we want. I wanted to speak about Joseph a few years ago. There's quite a few times where I've spoken to Paul about speaking about it. And one of the things I wanted to say, one of the reasons I wanted to speak about this, Paul in his wisdom asked me to wait, and I think it's good that I have waited. But one of the reasons I wanted to speak about this a few years ago is I wanted to say I didn't have what I wanted. I didn't have a promise from God for something that I wanted, but I was still faithful and have faith in God, because faith in God is being faithful that God is mighty, God is everything, God is Saviour, God is Redeemer, He is good. It's not faithful stuff. We don't have faith to get the things we want. And it might be, you might have a dream for something amazing that would bless lots of people. But it's not about the stuff. It's not about the things. It's about having faith in God, whatever happens. Okay. Facing obstacles. So Joseph was accused of something he didn't do, sold into slavery, put in prison. We are, I'm sorry to say, as Christians, not promised a life of smooth sailing, not promised a life of no burdens, no responsibilities, no hardships. In fact, when you read the Bible, all the stories in the Bible, people went through a lot of hardship or struggle or challenges, labouring to achieve God's will, or to like be living in God's will. We're not promised a life of ease and luxury. Persevering and remaining faithful. Joseph was in prison for a long time. I don't know if I can imagine being in prison for something that I didn't do and still remaining faithful, that a most incredible dream of being a ruler and having his brothers who sold him into slavery bow down before him. Those were dark days, and yet we know he still had faith in God, because when he was brought before Pharaoh, when finally he was remembered and it was, or Pharaoh's had a dream, or I know someone who can interpret the dream, bring Joseph out. So at this point, before he'd interpreted the dream, got acclaim, got rewards, at that point he said to Pharaoh, was asked if he could interpret the dream, and he said, I cannot do that, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. So even at that point, I mean, there's no promise at this point that anything good would happen to him if he interpreted his dream. Pharaoh could have had a dream, and in fact did have a dream, that the land would have famine. This isn't a positive prospect. Often when people are told bad news, you don't thank the messenger. But before even interpreting the dream and being rewarded at that point for it, Joseph was still faithful, was still saying, it's not in my strength, it's God. So I've talked about remaining faithful, and I want to say, what is faith? In Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. As I said, we don't get promised smooth sailing. And faith is being sure of something that isn't happening. Otherwise, that would just be noticing things. Okay, this is faith for things. That our faith is in uncertain times. Faith is being certain of something, sometimes despite evidence to the contrary. Faith is such a huge topic for me that I could talk about it for ages. Faith is it for us, okay? God has done everything. God has sent Jesus as his son to die for us. He has won the victory. We are not our own salvation. The law that God had placed in the Old Testament helped the Jews, but it was not the plan for salvation for mankind. Jesus was. What we do, our works, don't change the ultimate, okay, it's going to change our daily lives, but the ultimate victory is God, is Jesus Christ. And our role on a daily basis is faith in him. Faith is our road to righteousness. Romans 3:22-24 says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. It says all we have to do is believe in Jesus Christ, the Saviour. Faith. I'm saying that that's it. But isn't that amazing? That we don't have a tick list of things that we have to do to ensure we're the top Christian. Okay, there isn't a tick list. There isn't any tick list in the world that you can achieve that will ensure that you get eternal life. It's all through faith in Jesus Christ. And as I've said, Joseph was faithful in some really dark times. I would like to say that there's been times where faith has been the only thing keeping me through. There's times where we feel rubbish. There's times where evidence is that stuff's not going right. there was a point in David and my life where we said, do you know what? This wouldn't have been our plan. But if for the rest of our lives we don't have children, but our marriage is just enough, then that's what it is. We have faith that God had the best plan for our lives, and if he didn't want us to have children, then then that's what we came to. And you might be sitting there thinking, but it's hard. How can you go through stuff, or you might be going through things where believing in God and believing that God has got you is difficult. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 22, it says, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things that as Christians, with the Spirit living in us, God gives to us, we can pray for more of those things. We can pray for more faith. You don't have to try and work it up. And you don't have to go, Hannah's just told me about faith, so yeah, I'll do that. It's something that you can pray for. You can ask God for help. You can ask God for more faith. And the amazing thing is that fruits of the Spirit in Galatians is spoken about after Paul has explained that we are free in Christ. Not free to live a life of lawlessness, but we are not under law and condemnation. We are free in Christ. And from that starting point, from the Spirit living in us, working in us, serving each other through love, we have these fruits of the Spirit. We have gifts from God that can enable us to live the best life with Him. Jesus said that He came to give His life and life to the fullest. I truly believe that my life has been the fullest because of God's plan. I am a bit of a perfectionist. I often criticise, I'm myself my own biggest critic. I can criticise things I do. Anyone that's talked to me after one of the shows that Shine does, I'll be like, this isn't wrong. I am my harshest critic. But I can tell you this, honestly, God's plan has always been so much better than anything I've dreamed up for myself. My marriage, coming to Cardiff, living in Cardiff, what I'm doing with my life at the moment with my business, and having Jacob have been better than anything I could have imagined. And even though I went through years of pain and it was hard to ultimately have a baby, and I questioned and doubted a lot of things. I had treatment and I questioned, are we doing this? Are we doing this in our own work, our own strength? As God said, you're not having children, you know, Hannah, leave it alone, you're not having children, and you're there going, I've got to go to the doctor, I've got to get this, I've got to get this, put myself through a lot of stress. And God, done it in my own strength. But no, God has blessed me. And His timing ultimately is amazing. Like I've had Jacob now, and actually, you know, a lot of my friends are in a similar position. And it's amazing that I can go through that at the same time as some friends or make some new friends. And the time that David and I have been married, we've been able to start things, build our relationship, build a relationship with other people that perhaps we wouldn't have been able to do had we had a baby 9 years ago. My business wouldn't be where it is if I had a baby 9 years ago, because there's just no way I could have established at this point. And I want to say that God has always encouraged me, and He will always encourage and refresh us. Funny enough, when I was writing my notes in my book, at the bottom of this page, It's got Bible verses at the bottom of each page, and the Bible verse here is Psalm 145:9, and it says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." He loves us all. He's merciful, he's kind, he's compassionate, he's so grace after grace. And for me, something pivotal that happened, it's one of these retrospective pivotal. Literally the night before stuff took a turn in my career and work, we had a life group meeting at our home at the time. And I did that thing where you go, "Oh, it's Bible verse. And I feel like it's someone in the room." So I was like, I feel like I should share this Bible verse for somebody in the room. Does this mean anything to anyone? And this was the verse. Isaiah 42:6-9 is the pertinent bit. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you a covenant for the people and a light to the Gentiles. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." And that happened the night before my world turned upside down, essentially, with things that happened in my work. And God, knowing that I would be not knowing what to do with myself and unsure as to what to do next, inspired, encouraged, refreshed me before we even started by saying, "Hannah, I know. I know what's going to happen. I'm telling you, I know. Before it happens, I'm telling you." God is glorified in the fulfillment of the dream. God is glorified in our lives. God's glorified whenever we have a testimony about the good things that he's done for us. It's all about God, as Joseph said. You thought you'd never be here, but it was God. I want to say, it's God. I quite like my life. I love my life. And if you'd asked me when I was, I don't even know what age, I mean, even 5 years ago, if you'd asked me, what will you do with your life, or how will this turn out, I might have had some really nice ideas, good ideas or things that I would like. But as I said, God's exceeded all of them. He really has, and it is to his glory, and I thank God. His timing is perfect. So I'm sharing this with you. I'm not sharing it to go, "Isn't my life great?" I'm sharing it because it is a testimony. It is glorifying God. I want to publicly thank him, publicly glorify him, publicly praise his name, say, you know, this year has been having Jacob has been something that I seriously 18 months ago thought, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen for me. And God is miraculous. And sometimes he'll use the daily things to enact those miracles. You know, he uses us, he uses people offering us jobs, he uses conversations, he uses our decisions, where we choose to spend our time, who we're friends with, where we go, what outworking we do. But it's his miracle. It's him that's done the work, as I said. We can't convert somebody ourselves. It's God's revelation. We are just doing his will on earth, because the church is his plan A. He wants to use us. And I want to urge everybody here to seek God, because in Hebrews it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the God of Joseph is my God, and he'll be Jacob's God. He's your God forever, for the future. And isn't it amazing that the God that knows our yesterday, today, and forever has a plan for us? A plan for a hope and a future, a plan for mercies, a plan for loving kindness, for grace. He knows our yesterdays, he knows the shame, he knows the pain, he knows the failures, he knows the dreams, he knows our desires, he knows what your personality is best suited to. And fully aware of our limitations, our weaknesses, our strengths, but fully aware of what we are, he has a plan for hope and future for everybody. And he, through the Spirit, is with us in our today to achieve that. We are given the Spirit. We are given the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, so that everybody who has faith, who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, can live a life of freedom and fullness, can live a life of joy in Him, not necessarily getting everything you want all the time, not necessarily having a Santa's Christmas wish list of God, but His plan is perfect. Now, that might be hard for some people to hear right now, I appreciate that, because when we go through the rubbish, it's hard to hear, and I don't know why some people seem to have an easier life than others. But He is perfect. His will is perfect. He has a plan for you. And I am confident, as Paul wrote yesterday, today I'm confident that He who began a good work in you will carry on to completion. And I'm 35. I've got some lovely things to tell you about what God's done for me. In 35 years, I hope to add lots more to that, because God is with us forever.